Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 66 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Unbelievable That Bends Time. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
The doors of our heart would be opened now. They would be opened that your spirit might walk straight in, that your spirit might walk straight into our hearts, and that your spirit might not only walk into our hearts, but that you might walk with us as we walk down this pathway of life. Dear God, we do not want to move forward without you holding our hand and leading us through every step of the way. Our prayer is that through this teaching that we will learn how to forge in the great depths of waters, and we'll be able to climb the highest mountains, and we'll be able to see afar off. Give us wisdom, revelation. We pray that your spirit as us will welcome everyone in this place and watching online today, and that your Holy Spirit would go and be with each and every person, that today their lives would be changed forever, that we might be and to live accordingly more in the ways and for the reason you have created us to be here. Help this teaching, O God, to align us to our purpose and your hope. It's our prayer, O God, that this morning would be one of the most supernatural days that we've yet to experience on planet Earth. It's our prayer that the kingdom of God would invade this place the most as it has ever invaded this place since the beginning of time. We pray, O God, that the stirring of our hearts, that as a people of God, we would not be dull, that we would not be complacent, that any apathy in our lives, that all of this stuff that's below a supernatural life would leave us, would leave this place, that we might, O God, truly run, walk, and fly with you is our prayer. And everybody that felt a touch on that said amen. Amen and amen. We do welcome you here today. And as we're moving on in our teaching and our training, I can feel the presence of the Lord. Is it just me? Or is it, or what's going on here? I mean, I know the Lord's always with us. And it must be, I'm the type of person that believes that if God's anywhere, he's everywhere. So it's not a matter of him coming here, it's a matter of us being in touch with him. And we say he comes when really I think we go. But who cares about how we frame it up? We just know we're encountering God and his presence and his spirit. You know, today could be an exciting day in the house of God. You maybe won't have to wait any longer. Perhaps we have stumbled right into the presence of God and his kingdom this morning. So as we're moving forward in this prophetic understanding, changing the spiritual atmosphere into the unbelievable that bends time. Now, you need to understand that when we operate in the unbelievable, that time bends. It goes into a curve. It's a it bends just enough to avoid an obstacle or to create an impossible situation into a reality. And so our spiritual, if you take a person who is a basket weaver, I don't know that much about weaving baskets, but perhaps some of you do. But I have a distant friend of mine. He weaves baskets. It's got a name for it. It's an artisan of some type, but I forget what is the name for it. But anyway, when he is creating all of these different wonderful baskets, he'll put the strips of wood in either in a steamer or just in water. And it allows this wood to be bent and curved, and it takes something in the atmosphere of that wood is in, changes it to a point that it bends, or you can reshape it. So therefore, God creates different or allows different atmospheres in your life to help bend you, to help shape you. Anybody feel a bending going on? He'll bend us and he'll shape us, and we'll say, but God, I want a sunshiny day when I feel no effects of the water or the heat. But the problem with that is God does know the number of days that you will be here on this planet. So he's got so much work that he's got to get done on each and every one of our lives in a given amount of time. Now, some of us have saved up a lot of our bending to our latter years. So my advice is to get on with it. The earlier you can, the better. Not try to get it all done at one time. A lot of times when we won't bend into an area, we say that we have to be broken. And then when we're broken, we're rebuilt. And so God speeds up time of bending through brokenness. I don't despise brokenness. It just means God hurried. And so will you. Point being, we are going to be conformed into the image of his son. Good news or bad news, it's going to happen. So we find ourselves with a religious spirit, religious Christianity that says the more I'm following God, and I've been through some of this teaching, that the more we follow God, the easier my life is. The more money I have, the newer cars I have, the bigger houses I have. And this is the reward of me following God. And in all honesty, I'm really happy for these people. But that has not been my experience. My experience has been going from one bending to the next as this basket weaver conforms my life to carry his kingdom. I have learned to be content in the bending and repent in the breaking. So we find ourselves in this teaching of the prophetic on how the unbelievable bends time. It bends it. It shapes it. Not only that, the time in which you find yourself in life is the atmosphere that has been contributed in your bending. You ever said, well, I wish I could live the last 20 years over again. Well, bless your little heart. I mean, come on, I've had enough bending in those last 20 years, right? You got to understand, the time in which we are in will bend us and conform us. So we can say, well, the world is looking at the bad shape of the United States and the world. And well, I got to understand something. The time that you find yourself in is the atmosphere that is bending you. Now, when we find ourselves being bent in the atmosphere in which we find ourselves, whether it be a job or friendships or whatever, when we find ourselves in this time and we see that this time feels unfavorable, with me? It's unfavorable. I do not desire this. This is not what I had in mind for this time. Anybody felt that one? Well, the time is trying to bend you. Okay, that's all right. But here's what we want to consider as we move forward in this revelation. your ability, your permission, the favor of God towards you allows you to exercise the unbelievable. Now, the unbelievable bends time. Satan and his cohorts are controlling a lot of the time that's on planet Earth right now. But we have been placed by God, according to Corinthians. It says God has placed everyone in the body where it pleases him. All right? So I'm not trying to create you into anything else other than where God's placed you. I have learned that God has, if he's placed a Methodist, and a Baptist, a charismatic, non-denominational, a Catholic, I don't care what you are. If God's placed you there and it's pleasing to him, guess what? I'm good with it. So I'm not trying to move anybody to anywhere thinking that we got a corner on more truth than somebody else. I'm very content that God knows what he's doing. But since we find ourselves in here this morning, we'll go for it with all we got. Now, time is something that can change and bend. Now, changing the spiritual atmosphere into the unbelievable that bends time. So time's trying to bend us. Something is trying to bend you all the time. It's either the world or God. And why? It's because you are in an atmosphere of time. And this atmosphere of time is trying to change you. I'll go further. It will change you. You might think that you have a lot to do with what it's changing you into, but you don't have much. Where you are influences you. Who you're around influences you. The time you spend with people influences you. All right, as we move forward, you got to understand, how is this time that bends, that conforms? The bending of time is a spiritual definition, if I use the words, of this, changing. Things change. Or, if you go, use the terminology, from glory to glory. That's a bending. That's a one of the greatest revivals we had was in Wales with Evan Roberts. You remember that? You know what his prayer was? Oh, Lord, bend me. That's it. Could you feel it right there when I said it? Oh, Lord, bend me. Oh, why was that such a big deal? Because it was the verbiage that keyed right into what the Spirit does. Oh, Lord, bend me. Bend me here. Conform me here. So this life that we find ourselves in, whether you want to run with God or not, you're being bent. You're being conformed. Like it or not, most of it we don't, because we don't like to be bent. Now, our journey of life, I've said this in this part of the revelation, I've shown that how that our journey of life is like a vessel on the seas of a storm. It's like a ship on open seas. We have not been promised smooth sailing. We have been promised to reach our destination, though. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. So whether you're going to reach your destination or not, that's established if you're running with God. Been established. Now, between here and there, we don't know what's going to happen. Right? It's only in the storm that your faith is tried. Now, I've seen people say, well, I've got faith for this and I've got faith for that. walk around, have the chest poked out right big and carry a big old Bible, and I got this and I got that. Listen, let's say a friend of mine has done this, and I'm going to do it right now. His name's Peter Lord. Let's pretend you can't see in this. How do you know what's inside of this? It's when it's shaken. What's in comes out when it's shaken. Now, I don't care what you think you got and what you ain't got, but you'll find out what you got when that happens in life. That's when you know. You've been lying to yourself until then. So why do the storms come? It's to shake us. I hope one day the Lord gives me a message on prosperity. I hadn't run into it yet, but I'm working towards it, all right? I know it's coming. When we have a storm, it's to shake you. It's to shake you on purpose. Have you noticed it seems like God plays hardball? Huh? I thought he'd be a little easier at it than this. Anything from sickness and disease, cancers, divorces, earthquakes, famines. If you take an overview of what I just said, you can only come to this conclusion. I think God's more serious about this than I am. He's serious about this thing. He has so much time to work on our lives to get us from point A to point B. He messed around and made this promise that he's going to get us there. And he's playing hardball. I said this last week to a little bit of demise, but this is what I said, and I'll say it again. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Will you forgive me beforehand? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Some of this stuff in life we got to get over. We ain't got time to heal it all. You just take it to the cross. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And you have the power to get over it because he's in here. Some things we need to work out. I'm for that. But I don't know if you've got a backlog like I have. You see, when you got born again, you went from unbelief to belief. That's what you fixed one sin. Called unbelief. You went into belief. You believe it unto salvation. Now, working all these sins comes after that. Anybody noticed? I've heard some people say, well, I got forgiven of this, got set free of this the day I received Christ. Well, that's good. I praise God. And I think that. But the big sin that got fixed was unbelief. Now you believe. Now the journey begins. He didn't say we go from sin to sin. He was real nice to us, and he said you go from glory to glory. Leaving one and you're moving on. He's trying to be sweet. But he's trying to get us to move on. So we find ourselves in this life. It's a storm. It just is. It's a battle. It's a storm. And if I said anything else, I'd be giving a false report. But I got good news. And that good news is that in this storm, your faith is being tried. Your faith is going, you're going to find out the truth about your faith. You're going to find out if you've been living in a business deal with God or if you trust God. Let me give you a business deal. Most men, I don't know that much about women. Y'all have to do it yourself. Most men do a business deal with God. God, I'm going to serve you, give you all I got. But I want this. I want this in the family. I want this in the job. I want this kind of prosperity. I want this, this, this. And God, I'm going to serve you. Well, guess what life does? Doesn't give you that. So then you find out you've been doing a business deal with God. Come on, guys. Somebody say amen here. Or I'm hitting you right across between the eyes now. You know I'm telling you the truth, guys. If you're doing a business deal with God, you better repent. Because you're going to be in a storm, and that storm's going to prove to you what kind of deal you got going on with God. God doesn't do business deal. God done the deal. God says, join him, guys. Walk around with your feelings hurt. I ain't serving God because something didn't go your blame way. And you try to have a contract and a business deal with God, and he didn't write it. Come on. And he didn't sign it. I'm getting upset. I need to quit. Y'all know I'm telling somebody the truth. You never outgrow a storm. Storms of life are going to come. It's trying your faith. That's just the way this thing works. Do you know what a ship does when it hits a storm? Turns itself right to it and goes straight through it. If you're in hell, the quickest way to get out is go right through the middle of it. Don't run from it. I'm going to show you how to. Does anybody want to know how you just run right through the middle of it? Here we go. You just got to learn to fight through it. Your visitation of God's going to be in the storm. It's not going to be under a tree out there singing Kumbaya and throwing rose petals over your head. It's not the way this thing works. You visitate. You know, I've done read these scriptures to you. It's in 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be despised at the fiery ordeal among you. He said, don't be surprised, somebody, at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Boy, that doesn't fit my paradigm. So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. How many people say, God, send me your glory? You just called a fire on yourself. I got to give you the rest of the story or the Paul Harvey. Okay, you're going to get the glory. Now, there's one thing to be in the fire, but if we're going to be in the fire, dadgummit, we just well to get the glory. The glory of God on our life, right? You just well to go ahead and accept you're going to be in fire. You're going to be in storm. Okay, God, I got it. But I'm going to hold you to this one, Lord. You say that your glory is going to rest on us. Do you want when the glory rests on you, you know what it does? It makes it, you know my teaching I did on an elephant, it makes it, that elephant walked up to the water hole, take his old trunk or his foot, and he'd stomp in that water a time or two, and alligators would just go everywhere. Snake, everything. Everything's harmful to run. Why? The big E's on the scene. Big elephant walked up. Just as presence got the job done. Well, as Christians and as believers, we're the big elephant. You walk in Walmart, you walk into your job, you're supposed to walk in, they're supposed to say, ooh, the big C's here. And I mean that with all reverence. Because people respect who you are because of who you believe in. Used to have that respect in the United States. We're losing it. Now Christians are made fun at the water hole. Alligators come, snakes, and we run. Listen, I'm not running. I am not running from the water hole. I know in whom I believeth. I know who I am. I know everything that I am is in him. And I'm going to tell the world about it. So, here we go. The unbelievable, it says in Zechariah, the Lord says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, small, discouraged as you are, to storm, but it is no great thing for me. Now, here's the deal. He says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant. Now, a remnant, if you go to a carpet store and get a remnant, what is a remnant? It's a piece, right? A piece of the original. So he's not speaking to non-believers. He's talking about believers. And he's saying that the believer, it says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, small, discouraged as you are. Now, just because you can change that discouraged word into a courage word does not mean that you will move into believing the unbelievable. You can have courage in yourself. Listen, God's not asking you to memorize Scripture, which it's okay to do that. God is not asking you to pray 3 hours a day, which is fine to do that. God's not asking you to go to Bible school and get your doctorate in theology, which is fine to do that. He's not asking us to do but one thing, and that's to trust Him. That's it. You don't have to read or write. You don't have to. There's not but one thing that He's asking of us, and we want to make it complicated. We got to add all this other stuff. Well, I didn't do this just right, or I got to go over here to pray, or I got to go. Well, I'm not going to get into that one today. You got to do all these things and pray just right. We got to get the right song. Got to get this thing just right. Doesn't say any of that. Says one thing. Only thing God wants to do is to trust Him. Do you know why? Do you know why it's so hard for us to trust Him? Trust is the ultimate action of love. I've told you this story before. I had a little grandson standing on a wall, went up there to him, said, jump now, jump, jump, jump. Granddaddy will catch you, jump. Wouldn't jump. Said, granddaddy loves you. Jump every time. Why? He's responding to love, which is trust. So when God says He loves you, you don't say, well, God will love you too. No, somebody. The response to love is trust. Are you getting it? Say, Alan, I'm getting it. So if God says He loves you, the way you respond that you understand and receive that is, in God, I trust you. It's all He's looking for. Has everybody got that one? Read this whole book. One thing He's after, that you'll trust Him. With that understanding, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, small, discouraged as you are, but it is no great thing for me. You see, God's saying you're discouraged and all of that's okay. God says it's okay. He's just saying this one thing. It's no big deal for me. No big deal. Now, when you make this spiritual transaction and understanding, you realize you ain't got nothing to do with it. Did somebody just get that? You don't have a cotton-picking thing to do with it. You can't add anything religious. That's the reason when Jesus is on the cross and He said, it's finished, God did it all. You didn't do nothing. Right? Are you with me? Yes. What did you do? You trusted Him. Your response to His love is trust. It's the same thing through your whole cotton-picking life. I don't care what storm you're in. The answer is trust. Are you with me? I think we just got about 5,000 tons of faith downloaded in God's people right there. For some reason, I can feel it. So He says it's no big thing for Him. God doesn't want you to have the courage for it. He wants you to trust Him to do it. How can I? The Bible says this. It's in your weakness. that he's made strong. Is anybody getting it? It's about trust, not performance. You're not doing a business deal with God. You don't have nothing to ante up. Hey, how are we going to trade with him? We don't have anything to bring to the table. Well, praise God. It's not the way it works. God says, don't bring nothing to the table except your discouragement. Let me have that and trust me with it. And all we do is we sit back and we watch God do what God does. But God doesn't do what God does until God's getting all the credit. It's not because he's got a big ego. It's because if we get any credit, we got an ego. Did you get it?
Yes.
Say, I got it. That's the reason we have to give it all to God. He don't have to have no cheering section or ego trip. But he's got to get it all so we understand we don't get any, and then therefore we can stay somewhat spiritual. Pretty good plan, huh? Now remember, God's serious about this thing. He is not playing. He doesn't have it so many days in your life to work his thing on out. Now, I hadn't even got past my introduction. Being discouraged is the beginning of an unbelievable. Are you with me? I'm going to move. This seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, small, discouraged as you are. If you're discouraged, it's the storm. Now, all right? Discouragement comes through a storm. But I've now shown you that it's in the storm that you're going to get your visitation. How do you get your visitation in the storm? Because you know that you don't know what to do. God says, oh, okay, you don't know what to do and you're discouraged. So call on me. Hey, God, will you come? Voila, visitation from God. Right? Now, Zachars must remember. You remember what a Zachar is? Zachar is the name, it's the Hebrew word for man in Genesis, and it means the remembering ones. All right, we must remember. Now, as Zachars, we're going to remember that this is unbelievable to us. I showed you last week how you had to come into an unbelievable situation before faith could work. Y'all remember any of that? In other words, I can say you can have knowledge. I know God can heal. But when somebody comes up here, has got a fresh case of needing healing, I find myself in honesty in a place I don't know if God's going to heal them. Right? I don't. Now you can say, do all that you want to. I'm just being honest. I don't know if God's going to do it or not. Now I remember that he did and he can. So I'm in, find myself in an unbelievable situation, which throws me in a spiritual dynamic that I can't do anything about it. So now I say, hey God, it's unbelievable as this is, and then I'm a little discouraged. I don't know. They're really wanting to be healed. I don't know if he'll... God, will you show up? God's sitting over here, ain't no big thing to me. Ain't a big thing to me. Now, are you catching on to the spiritual atmosphere that we help create to bend time, to bend this thing? Does anybody see where we're headed? Now, trust me. That's the reason I say, we're all the same. Nobody's super spiritual here. Why? Because we're all super discouraged. We all got super storms. That's our likeness. That's what we got in common. I mean, we're not no Moses or something. I mean, Moses even said, well, God, I can't do this. I can't talk good. God said, Moses, it's not about you. It's about Israel. Moses. Oh, yeah. Okay, God. I got it. Now, look at it. The battle is between courage and discouraged in the storm. The enemy of courage is what? Fear. The enemy of courage is fear. Fear not is used over and over again in the Bible. Do you know that? Just think about it. Fear not. Everybody goes around and says, fear not. Makes me want to walk up and say, fear not. Here's what God said. Fear is an enemy. Fear is an enemy to the unbelievable. Somebody comes up and needs prayer. Situation, oh, I'm a little discouraged, but I'm not fearful. Why? Because my trust is in God, because He told me that that was no big deal to Him. Right? Here it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now, you got to understand, you've got to recognize that you need your hand raised. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. What do you do when you're afraid? You trust Him. Well, God, I'm afraid you might not heal that person. I'm going to trust you. I'm discouraged. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Fear is the enemy of courage. Fear grows when you live a lifestyle of being the victim in the storm. Come on, somebody. Say, Alan, I'm glad you said that. Thank you very much. Fear grows when you live as a lifestyle of being the victim in the storm. Victim mentality. If you're playing the victim, you're waiting for somebody to come along and pat you on the head and tell you everything's going to be all right or something. Yes. If you're waiting on all that in life, you're not going to get far. Occasional pat every now and then is okay. But you're not going, I can't get enough pats for my storms. You can't either. Courage grows when you live a lifestyle of determination, of enduring until we make it through. If you've been prayed for and you're sick and you've got cancer or whatever, it ain't over till it's over. And if you hear my voice, it ain't over yet. We endure straight through that baby. Do not make your fear of the storm more powerful than your enduring. Somebody with me on that one?
Yes.
Listen, you can endure. You know when you're really getting down to the nitty-gritty and enduring? It's because you're crying and laughing at the same time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're crying and you're laughing at the same time. Somebody comes up to you, well, are you sad or are you happy? Well, I'm both. It hurts, but I'm getting there. It hurts, but I'm going to make it. How do you know you're going to make it? Because God said I was. And my trust is in Him, not in my cotton picking, stinking thinking. My trust is in Him. Gosh, I can feel it. When you are out of breath, when you are depleted, when you have nothing left, the enduring has just begun. You just got started good. There's something on the other side of being give out with it. There's something on the other side of saying, I can't do this no more. That's where you just give it up. And God says, I was here all the time. You cross over into believing the unbelievable. You're convinced. Faith for the unbelievable. How can we have courage to bring the unbelievable into our reality of the storm so it can be believed? Are you with me on my words there? Now, the journeys of life, this is a dock during one of those hurricanes. I forget which one it was. It was down in, it was a shot taken down in the Gulf of Mexico. What was that big one that came through down there at Galveston, down through there? All of these boats, these ships, were tied up in the dock, in dock. Now, can anybody tell me When a storm's coming, what you need to do? You need to take it out to sea. Why do you need to take a ship out to sea during a storm? Because if you got it tied in at the dock, it's going to get beat from pillar to post. Utterly destroyed. Beat from pillar to post. Now, do you remember this teaching I did on the elephant? Why do we want to get rid of these chains that are holding us back? It's because they hold you to the dock. You're getting beat from pillar to post. Yeah, you got a storm, but the chains have got to go. Come on, somebody, talk to me here. Is anybody out there? The chains have got to go. Being tied to the dock is what keeps you getting beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up. You can say, well, everybody hates me down there at work. Well, quit acting like a jerk. Let your chain go. You're going to get beat from pillar to post. Look on your chain, and it's got jerk wrote all over it. Let it go. Change. Bend. You're in a storm. Dadgummit, get off of the docks. The chains hold you. They keep you tied in. We come to church, say, God, show me my chain. Show what's holding me back, God. I'm in a storm. He says, well, push off. Get away from that chain. Has anybody got it with me? All right, here we go. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're tied in at the dock, the chain is part of your thinking. So is he. How do you break the chain? You change your thinking. I'm telling you, I can't bring a set of bolt cutters and cut it. You'll run right back to it and you'll repair it. You gotta change how you think. Your thinking, your stinking thinking is the chain. Identify it. If it says jerk, write it down. Identify it. See, if it's selfish, write it down. If it's lust, write it down. Whatever's your chain, you write it down and you change your thinking on the chain. Now, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Philippians says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, your stinking thinking didn't make the grade to start with. So what he's saying is, you're going to trade your thinking in some areas of your life for Christ's thinking. Are you with me? All right, let's move. I like that elephant. I don't know what, I just got into elephants on that message. I just like them. That elephant walked up the water hole. He didn't have to make a bunch of racket. He didn't have to throw King James Bible under his ear. He didn't have to do nothing. He just walked up to the hole. And everybody saw him. It's what I like about the elephant. The elephant's really the king of the jungle. All of these Natural Geographic channels, everything, are, since I've declared it, they're going to have to change or rewrite some stuff. That elephant's one that controls the jungle. As Christians, we're the salt of the earth. We're to preserve it. We're to walk in chaos and just, now dadgummit, behave. That's right. We've walked in the scene. Christians are here. Because of that glory that rests upon them, everybody will back up a little bit. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm as serious as I can be. Now, for as a man thinketh, or his attitude in his heart, so is he. Your attitude comes out of your thinking. It's your heart. So as a man thinketh in his heart. Thinking heart. What comes out of the heart is attitude. How you approach things determines the outcome. I remind you of little old David. Saul was out there and all this army, and they said, "Oh my goodness, you see that giant? He's big, isn't he? He's a booger. He's going to get us all." David runs up, gives him a little bit of food, and he hears them talking about that. He said, "Y'all talking about that giant out there?" He said, "Yeah, he's a big one. He'll kill us all." Saul said, "I don't know what we're going to do." David said, "Well, I've done killed a bear and a lion." David said, "Well, that giant looks bigger than the bear and the lion. It looks like to me he's just more to hit." You see what a man full of faith, what he sees? Same giant. Another way to look at it. One is, it's so big, you got a giant in life. It's so big, it's going to get me. When you got the mind of Christ, you say, "No, just a bigger one to hit." Why? It's no big deal to God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? All right, let's move forward here. If you're in a storm, my goodness, I got 4 minutes. If you are in a storm, it says this in Isaiah 26, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." This whole deal of the power of Christianity is wrapped up in the word trust. Trust. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." "But God, I'm discouraged." Well, it's okay. You don't have to come to God full of courage. You come discouraged. It's all right. You come to him and you just trust in him. And when you trust in him, it's no big deal to him. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." Just go through the inventory of your mind weekly. Do you think on these things? Or the greatest fad these days, which I think has been around for 6,000 years, is to talk about how bad everything is. "Well, you wouldn't believe what this is going. Well, this is over here. Well, this, you wouldn't going to believe. Not. Well, this, do. I don't know what it is in the human spirit that demands everything to be bad. I have no idea. But this much I know. The mind of Christ has to be developed. When you look at a giant and say, "Shoot, that's just a bigger target," you're taking on the mind of Christ. Is anybody with me? You're not saying, "Oh no, he's going to kill me, he's going to eat me, he's going to carry us all, we're all going to die." Well, not if my God's on the scene. If somebody does, it'll be because he said they will. If I do, it's because he said I will. Whoa, I'm about to fall. We've got to understand, the mind of Christ does not think like the pit of hell. God is in the redeeming business, not the condemnation business. And what in the world's in us to think we're more spiritual when we condemn people for doing wrong is beyond me. The math doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So if you're living a life, now here's the big one. The big one is, not only, I got 1 minute to say about an hour. Let me get some water. If your life is spent on pointing out everything that's wrong, you are living a very unhappy life. You are not content. You say that your life is terrible and it stinks. And if you ain't careful, you'll commit suicide. You're talking yourself into every bit of it. Now, is any of it true? I don't know how big Goliath is. The only thing I know is it's a big spot to hit. That's all I know. Can't miss him. It's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a positive in nature. The mind of Christ doesn't retreat. The mind of Christ looks hell right in the eye and says, I'm a coming through. Make a way, I'm a coming through. If I die in the middle of it, I'll just die because I am determined. I am enduring and I'm going through. Now call me hard-headed in Jesus if you want to, but I'm just hard-headed. Passive Christianity, I've picked up too many. I've talked them sweet and I've talked them. I've double baptized them. I've slung holy water at them. I've done everything. It has to come from that individual in here. I can't do it for you. I can't do it. I can holler out here and say, come this way, but I can't do it. Everybody has to do it themselves. You and God. I'll tell you why I think. It's because when you die and you leave your body, I'm preparing you. Because it's just going to be you and God. I don't care how many people you got at your bedside. They can't get in there with you. It's you and God. David walked up to that Goliath and said, boy, he's a big one, I can't miss. And he got his rocks and he slung him things and bam. Well, David thought he couldn't miss it. But the key was God was guiding the rock. David's attitude caused him to hit hell right in the middle. He slung a cotton pick and little rock out of a creek. It hit him dead center right between the eyes. Why? Because his attitude was right. He says, my God, I killed the tiger and I killed the lion, I killed the bear. My God was with me there and he'll be with me now. Are you with me?